you think we are a tolerant society? I got to say, I think in general, Australia is one of the most tolerant countries in the world. Although the woke and the weak have redefined tolerance to mean you tolerate anything you agree with and everything else must be silenced. But what do you think? Well, Malcolm Dawes is an expert in people, performance and effectiveness, and he thinks we're a bit of an intolerant bunch. He joins us on the line. Malcolm, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Why do you think we're intolerant?
Oh, I just think if you look around around the world, whether it's Australia or anywhere else for that matter, I think we've got a group of people who just think that, I think if you look at the definition of tolerance, it's the ability to accept people as they are, not as you'd like them to be. So I think some of us tend to see other people as being very different, and therefore they cannot be right, and therefore we're intolerant of them, whether it's about religion or politics or gender preference or any number of things. So I think you can look at a society and say perhaps we're a tolerant bunch, but there's an awful lot of individuals out there that are not.
But there's a difference between tolerance and acceptance, though. I mean, you can tolerate somebody's position, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to accept it.
Yeah, well, that's true. I think I've had this discussion on a number of occasions with people who say that tolerance and acceptance perhaps are the same. But I think you're right. You can tolerate somebody's viewpoint, but you don't necessarily have to accept it. I mean, take climate change, for example. I was at a dinner a couple of years ago, pre-COVID, sat next to somebody, and we got onto the topic of the fires, which were happening around us at the time. And the person I was talking to had a different view than I did, and it was fairly obvious that we were very opposite views, and but we agreed to differ. And I think that's the thing, it's having the respect to agree to differ rather than trying to persuade somebody that your belief is right and theirs is wrong, because tolerance, I guess, stems from the fact that we have a belief in something. So if one person believes that climate change is real and another one believes it's not, each party tries to persuade the other, and in the end it becomes an argument and dispute and, you know, finger pointing of blame and says, well, you're wrong, you know what you're talking about, rather than accepting being tolerant of somebody else's point of view. It doesn't mean to say I have to accept their point of view.
But is it so much the difference of opinion has always existed, but once upon a time we could have a robust discussion and still walk away without any animosity. What do you think has changed?
I think there's a number of things that have changed, one of which is and I think you and I have talked about this before, there's not the role models around anymore. As you say, we used to have robust debate and people could have discussions and you know, look at politicians. I've just been listening to you saying about politicians and so on. Politicians have always obviously had differences of opinion, have also always had an opposite view, and that's the whole point of politics.
Yeah.
But there's often been debate where people can be respectful of each other. I mean, that's one of the things, how can we demonstrate tolerance? Well, we're respectful of somebody else's point of view. I don't think you see that anymore. You see people in the House of, you know, House of Parliament calling each other buffheads and various other terms of non-endearment, if that's such a phrase. So I think we've lost respectful debate because we don't necessarily see the role models around us. And also, I think I was watching something the other day about there's a guy called Simon Sinek, who's an American who's does a lot of work into leadership and acceptance and tolerance and understanding. And he was talking about millennials. And there's a lot of people who say, well, we can't manage millennials, but you just need to look at the way that they've been brought up. And we don't respect each other with things like technology. We'll sit at a dinner table and have our phones on the table. And if the phone rings, it takes precedent over having a conversation with somebody opposite.
Yeah.
So we've become, as a society, those things have encroached on our lives and therefore have made us less respectful, less tolerant, more likely to disagree, and less likely to have an open mind to listening to other people's points of view.
It's interesting when you talk about politicians and the way they behave. And, you know, I remember having this discussion with a recently retired politician who said, look, there are people on opposite sides of the House that still maintain amicable relationships outside the chamber, and they'll go and have a drink with each other after, when the day is done. Mm. He said, the problem is, once upon a time, Ben Chifley and Bob Menzies would, you know, fight it out as, you know, on the floor of Parliament and then go and have a whiskey together afterwards. He said the leaders will no longer do that and haven't for probably two or three decades. So I guess the real question is, and talking about things like, you know, phones taking precedence over conversation, how do we get back to that?
I think there's a few different ways. One is, as I've said a couple of times, you know, it's having respect. It's having respect for people who've got opposing views. It's learning to look upon people as being different and being patient with those differences. It's the fact that we need to recognise and being aware. I think 50% of anything we do, we need to be aware of what we do and the impact it has on other people. So if we do stick our phone on the table. I was watching this talk the other day, and a guy said, "Well, when we put our phones on the table, it's disrespectful to the people that you're having a conversation with." So, and he said, "Putting your phone face down doesn't make a difference. You know, it's still on the table."
Yeah.
So we need to be aware of the impact that something as simple as a phone might do in terms of interfering with normal social behaviour. So switch your phone off and keep it in your pocket or in your bag or whatever. So it's raising our awareness of how we can be more tolerant. How can we have this robust debate and still, you know, be friends at the end of the day? And, you know, when Parliament opens and all those sorts of things, or various different ceremonial events where you see the leader of each party, you know, the Prime Minister and the leader of the opposition walking together. In the days gone by, they used to sort of walk and talk and smile at each other, and it doesn't seem to happen anymore, as you say. So I think it's this ability to be aware of what we do and the effect that our behaviour has on the other person. And I think all too often we live in a bubble, individual bubble, which says what I do is right and therefore what everybody else does is wrong, instead of saying, well, what I do is right, but also what you know, this person does is also right and the other person does is right. I may not necessarily believe what they believe, but at least I'm tolerant of their viewpoint, respectful, and I'm patient with the fact that they're very different than I am, and I'm prepared to listen to their argument.
Well, hopefully by talking about it, we might convince people to examine their behaviour. Malcolm, good to talk to you this morning.
You too, Stephen. Thanks very much indeed.
Malcolm Dawes is a people performance and effectiveness expert.